Okay, we're picking up the Gemara four lines from top of Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored the Ilu Nishmas Shalames Bas Yaakov, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. So the Gemara is explaining what's the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, whether or not we assume that you pay from the Mazik's Idis, his best land, or the Nizak's Idis, the Nizak's best land, when assessing the payment of damages. So the Gemara says, my time at Rabbi Shmuel. What's the reasoning for Rabbi Shmuel? Because Rabbi Shmuel says the following, Nemra Sada Lamata, Venemra Sada Lamala, the Lashon of Sada. The Pasuk says, Metav Sadeu Shalem. The word Sada is referenced over there. Venemra Sada Lamata, and also says Sada, Ubir Basde Acher. This refers clearly to a field of the person who was nizak, who was damaged. So therefore, the fact that you have the lashon of sada as a gzira shava, and we can learn masada mur lamala de nizak, just like the field by lamala with regards to ubir basada acher, is clearly referring to the damaged properties, his field, afsada mur lamata de nizak. So to the field mentioned in regards to the field with regards to Meitav Sadeu, you have to pay the damaged person's field. So therefore, when the Pasuk tells you have to pay Meitav Sadeu, it refers to the Nizak. But the Nizak Sheminan, that is how Rabbi Shmuel derives his drasha. However, Rabbi Kiva Savar Meitav Sadeu Yishalim, Dahayach Tekam Yishalim. Rabbi Kiva understands when the Pasuk says Sadeu Yishalim, is talking about b'meshalim hakasu medaber dahainu mazik, as Rashi says. I'm reading Rashi. V'hachi kamar Rabbi Akiva lo ba hakasu lahakel al mazik lipater b'ziburish shelo im hi ki'idah shel nizak ela legavos nizikim min ha'idah shel mazik. So Rabbi Akiva understands that the drasha is telling us that the person, the mazik, always has to pay from his idis, even if his ziboris is equivalent to the nizak's idis. You have to pay your best field, and that amount needs to be paid. You have to pay, you have a $10,000 amount, you have to pay $10,000 of your best field, not of the nizak's field. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel understands that ane gzera shava v'anekra, that the gzera shava is teaching you this halacha, that you sometimes, that you use the nizak's v'anekra, but the pasuk is going to be effective. Where is the pasuk? Rabbi Kiva understands that the whole pasuk is understand kipshuta without the gzera shava. And where do we see the gzera shava and the kra playing out? As the Gemara is about to elaborate, ahane gzera shava l'chada arman, ahane kra the isle lamazik edis v'ziboris ziboris di day lo shava kidis nizak de mashalam le'metav. So firstly, the gzera shava is effective to mention the case that the person pays the land equal to that of the nizak. That is the gzera shava. And the pasuk teaches you a case where if the mazik has both Idis and Ziboris, however, his lower level property is not equal to that of the Nizak's best property, then in that circumstance, you'll have to pay with your better field, and that is what's called Metav. You'll have to pay the, meaning, even though your Metav is better than Nizak in that case, still, that's how the postures of the Psukim are able to be understood according to Rabbi Yishmael. And now without that understanding of the Ahanikra, we would have learned that the Gzera Shava is going to teach you that you'd be allowed to use Ziboris in that example if it was closer in value. Maybe we'd go after whatever is closer in value. So let's say, again, your Ziboris is worth $100 per meter. So if it's $100 per meter and your Idis is worth $200 per meter and his Idis is worth $110 per meter, I would have thought that since your Ziboris is much closer in value to the $110, that you'd be allowed to pay Ziboris in that example according to Rabbi Yishmael, had it not been for the Pashto Sapsukim, that's the Ahanikra, that no, even there you have to pay with your $200 Idis and get to that total value of the $10,000 that you owe in the example that we were using. So the Raisa says, Vaita, Rabbi Kiva says that the Pasuk is only coming to tell you that you're coming to pay from the Mazik's Meitav. The Kavachomer Lekdish, and we can learn a Kavachomer to Hekdish. What is this Kavachomer? My Kavachomer. What exactly does it mean when Rabbi Kiva says that there's a Kavachomer to Hekdish? So says the Gemara now, that you're going to tell us it's talking about a case where my ox gores hekdish ox, so that, and then you have to pay meitav. That can't be the case. Because the pasuk says shore, which we learn out, right? The pasuk with regards to Ki yagov ishor etshor eyu. The pasuk in Shmos tells us that when your shor hits someone else's shor, then you have to pay either the chatzin nezek or nezek shalim. So that is shor eyu. But if it's shor eyu, one of the lot shor hektish, the gzeiros hakasuv comes to exclude a very fascinating thing that you wouldn't need to pay at all when it comes to hektish. You don't need to pay anything. The Gemara is actually going to later suggest maybe that's not the case. You'd have to pay full. We'll get to that. But the Gemara is addressing right now that you don't have to pay anything. Ella. So Rabbi Kiva's statement, so it can't be that. So rather, Rabbi Kiva's statement means that if a person says he's going to give him money, which is a high amount of, it's a very a large coin, it's worth a lot of money. It's worth 100 dinars, if that means anything, but it's worth a lot of money. So money lebedek abayis, to us he gives Rabbi Shalkel me'idis. So that Lach Rabbi Kiva is telling us that he collects it from Meitav. The Gemara says that can't be correct either. Lo ya'alek abalchov. He's going to be like a balchov. A balchov is somebody who has an obligation to pay an amount of money. And that is a lacha of balchov dinu b'beinonis. That his halacha is that we mentioned from the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us on yesterday's daf that a balchov pays from the medium quality land. Maybe Rabbi Kiva holds out that way. Maybe Kiva, because of Rabbi Kiva, balchov shakel b'idis k'nezik. Maybe Rabbi Kiva really understands that in Malva can collect his, he can get from idis. So ikal amifrach. So then even if Rabbi Kiva does hold that way, that wouldn't work for hektish. Bala balchov shikin yafakocha b'ninis akin. That you can say that only applies to a Malva, to a creditor, because he is somebody who is has the aspect that he could collect meitav when he's damaged. Tomar behektish can say when it comes to hektish shekin horakokam nizikin, where if you damage hektish, not only do you not have to pay meitav, you don't have to pay anything. So therefore, it's completely different. It's a different halacha. So you can't learn that it's loyal kabalchov. A balchov is even stronger. And even if a balchov is beidis, Rabbi Kiva wouldn't learn that you should pay beidis if you say hare mane lehektish. So therefore, the Gemara says you can't explain that that way. So maybe the Gemara comes out a different explanation. La'olam, rather, we're talking about a case the nakhe torah didan le torah de hektish. Rabbi Kiva is referring to a case where your ox gores the ox of hektish. Rabbi Kiva savrala k'Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. Rabbi Kiva understands like Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya. What does Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya teach? Just as Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya omer shor shel hektish and naga shor let shel hediot. If a shor shel hektish, it gores your ox, so then halacha is pater, hektish does not need to pay. However, shel hediot and naga shor shel hektish, if a shor shel hediot is gores the base of mikdash is owned the hektish owned shor bein tam bein muad mishalim nezek shalim. The halacha is whether it was a tam, if it was only someone who was not warned three times, or a muad was warned three times, and you have to pay full damages. In both those examples, mishalim nezek shalim, you'd have to pay full. So that's Rabbi Kiva's understanding. V'darish re'eyu, Rashi says, I mean, Rashi mishalim nezek shalim, v'darish re'eyu hachi, re'eyu de mishalim chatzi nezek, aval hekdesh nezek shalim. That's a drasha. It's not coming to exclude that you don't pay at all. It's the other way around, that you're excluding that you don't pay at all to tell you that you should pay in full. That's the drasha Rabbi Kiva teaches you, and that is what we're teaching us in regards to this halacha. So that's this halacha over here, that you would have to pay a full amount of nezek shalim. So the Gemara says, Yahachi, if that's really the true, there Rabbi Kiva holds a Rav Shimon ben Menasya, Mimai devi'idis denizak kiziboris temazik pligi. Do we really, from where are we going to learn that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva have a machlokas, or rather, the machlokas is what we just mentioned, where the quality of the fields are different. Maybe Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva would agree that we generally assess damages in Meitav with regards to the Nizak's field. And therefore the damager has to pay with any of his fields equivalent to that of the Nizak. V'hacha, and in the Breisa, Biplukta de Rabbi Shimon Manasseh v'Rabbanan Kemlifagi. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are arguing whether or not we say Shor Re'eyu v'Shor Shalekdesh that you should pay either full Nezak or no Nezak at all. Rabbi Kiva savar lak Rabbi Shimon Manasseh. Rabbi Kiva understands that you have to pay full nezek no matter what. Rabbi Shmuel savar lak Rabbanan that you pay nothing. You don't pay anything when you pay when it comes to if your animal gores hektish. Maybe that's the old machlokes. That's how we explain the Mishnah as well. So the Gemara says it doesn't work with the lashonos of the Mishnah. Im kain, what is the lashon of ma'ad lo ba kosuv? Rabbi Kiva is coming to say lo ba kosuv el ligvos for something. As Rashi points out. It's coming for this purpose. What's lo ba'kasuv? The ligvas, they're not arguing over that. Also, what was the kavachomer with regards to hektish? If Rabbi Kiva agrees fundamentally with Rabbi Shmuel that we are makel regarding the payment for damages to hektish, we don't require the damager to pay with land that was better to the to other land. How can Rabbi Kiva say that we apply this kula with regards to with the property of hektish? Hekdesh, whose losses should be more machmir. Ve'od ha'amar Ravashi, turning on to the next number. Now Ravashi says, Tanya Behedya, the Braisa says explicitly that Rabbi Kiva argues with Rabbi Shmuel on this very point. Meta sadeo, meta of karma shalem, meta sadeo shel nizak, meta of karma shel nizak, de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva mer, meta sadeo shel mazik, meta of karma shel mazik. We have an explicit Braisa, which teaches us Rabbi Kiva says that you pay the value of the mazik's best land, not the value of the nizak's best land, so we cannot explain that this was not an argument. This is beferish. The Braisa says, the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, so therefore we reject that suggestion. And therefore we accept the other answer that we're referring to the machlokas with regards to Meitav, who's in fact paying Meitav. So that was the first halacha. Now, the Mishnah told us that we said that you pay Meitav because that is Tikkun Olam, that's why you do that. That implies it's a Din Derabanan. The Gemara answered that by explaining that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Shmuel to explain that it's Derabanan. That's how we explained it. Now the Gemara is going to give a whole other answer to the Mishnah. Ravina Amar, La'olam, really the Mishnah, Masnitzin Rabbi Kivi. It's not Rabbi Shmuel. We gave a first answer that was Rabbi Shmuel, it's all Derabanan and it's Meitav, because really you have to pay, right? That whole drasha comes out from Rabbi Shmuel. Now Ravina wants to tell you that our Mishnah is really the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. De'amar mid'raisa menemazik shaminin. That really, on the level of Deraisa, when we say Meitav Sadeo, it refers to that who of the damager, the person in the mazik, the person who's damaging. Rabbi Shimon he, and the Mishnah is also following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon is many times is the Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, so lechora he was went with the Shita of his Rabbi. The Darish Talmud of Rabbi Shimon learns that we can be Dorish, the reason for something mentioned in the Torah. And if the reason for the thing mentioned in the Torah does not apply, then the halacha would not apply either. It's the famous idea, the Pasuk says, Lo sachbol beged almana, that you should not take a widow's garment as collateral. Why not? So because the whole reason is a person is going to be suspected of having an adulterer is having relations with this almana, because you're bringing her you're taking it as a collateral, and she only has two clothing, so you have to come every morning to give her morning clothing for her to change. Then she's going to come and give you her night clothing to keep that as collateral till she pays her debt. So what's going to look like? That person was not doing things that were inappropriate with her, obviously, and that would be motzi laz on her. So that's why you're not allowed to do that. So so what comes out from there, if we're Dorish, the reason for the pasuk, so then Rabbi Shimon says a fascinating thing. He says that if it comes to the case of a woman is very rich, and she's an almana, her husband was a billionaire, and he dies. So she borrows money from you for whatever reason. She wanted some cash, she needed some $10,000. So you would be allowed to take collateral. She has hundreds of clothing. She doesn't have only one in day, one in night. You're only going to come, give her that clothing when she pays the debt. So then maybe there you can in fact take a collateral. So that is Rabbi Shimon's opinion in Echanami. Rabbi Shimon says, yes, you can take a lot on that case. So now the Gemara says, "My time comes." So the Mishnah is telling us that you collect for Tikkun Olam, it does not mean that this halacha is a dinda rabbanan. Rather, the Mishnah is explaining what's the reason for the dinda araisa. What's the reason of bidamazik? So the Gemara says, "My time is zaken shem lebidus." What's the reason that we have damaged property going from Meitav and Tikkun Olam? That's Minei Tikkun Olam. As we learn from the Braisa, Amar B'Shimon, "My time is zaken shem lebidus." Why is it that we collect for the things are of nezek in Meitav, because of people who are stealing and people who are extortioning other people, that they take things by force. So why? Because kadesh yomer adam, person going to say lamani gozav lamani chamas. What am I stealing? Why am I extorting? Lamachar based in yordin lenachasev. And all of a sudden, actually, they're going to take my field. And they're going to be somech on what the Torah says. Meitav sedeo, meitav shalomim. Yishalim, I'm going to have to pay from my highest level of fields. So it's really explaining the reason of the pasuk. That the reason of the Torah says that damages are assessed based on the superior land of the mazik was in order to stop people from stealing and damaging and also extortioning. We want to stop all of that, and that's why we're summoned lahen beidis. So the Gemara says, so why? So going back to Rabbi Shimon, why do we have Balchov who is average land? The Braisa tells us that he gets average land. Lechor, this is a dinder banan. So maybe, so the Gemara says, kidei, what's the yisod of here? Kidei, shelo yira adam chavero sada naya vedira naya, v'amar ekos onek vek shemenech lechovi. And a person's going to say, wow, this guy, he lives way beyond his means. He has a beautiful house. Let me go lend him more money to go build his pool. And then I'm going to get this whole house because he's not going to pay back. I'm going to get his best land. So therefore, he gets the average land. So the Gemara says, if that's the reason, though, Elamata, Rabbi Shimon, if that's the whole reason, yay, busy burst, why shouldn't you collect the lowest of land? And he should never look at his friend's fields trying to collect it. So the Gemara says, because imke natana adelas b'fnei lovin. If that's the case, that you would reject that, then you would, in fact, be Noel Delis. You would be closing up the doors to people lending, and that would be, people would not want to, if they only knew that they're getting Ziboris back, in an event the guy doesn't pay back cash for the loan, he doesn't want the property in Louisiana, who wants that? He has to deal with selling it. He doesn't want to pay back for the $100,000 loan that he gave. He wants to get at least decent quality land so that you could get, you would be able to get that in order for people to be loaning. We want there obviously to be halvaos, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa, so we want that to be done for the benefit of society. We allow it to be kept in beinonis. So the Braisa continues, k'suvas isha b'ziboris. Why should it be that a woman's k'suba is b'ziboris? Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says you should give it from the regular land, the medium land. Why? Because more than a man wants to get married, a woman wants to isha rotzalinase. Right? There's a famous Gemara in Ksubas, Tov lemeitav, tan dilemeitav armel. A woman would rather be with anybody than to be single. She wants to be married. So therefore, it's not necessarily to up her to beinonis. Davar acher, or isha yotzal ratzon v'shel ratzon. A woman can go out from her marriage voluntarily and against her will. But a man only sends his wife voluntarily. Meaning he could give her a get, bal karcha. That's obviously, you might be familiar, that's not allowed. That's takanas rabbeinu gershom. Medina de Gemara, it's mutter for a man to give a wife a get, even against her will. So the Gemara is assuming that Rabbi Shmuel says this reasoning, that you're collecting from Ziboris. My davar acher, but why don't you mention davar acher? Isn't it enough to say Yoser Masha Isha Rotzalinase, that then that's why she should get Ziboris? Why do I need another explanation? So Gemara explains, because V'chite Makihechi Dechimapik La'ihu, that you could explain that just as when a person sends out his wife without any without any explanation, he just wants to get rid of her. Tiknu l'rabbanan k'suba minei. The rabbis established for her k'suba. Kinafke ihi. So when she goes out by herself, she wants to bother the husband until he divorces her. Nami l'tnei l'rabbanan k'suba minei. So the rabbanan should also establish a k'suba from her to give to him, because she's causing the divorce. Tashma, so therefore we learn, he can make her wait for the get, and thereby not avoiding the ksuba payment. So therefore, when he divorces her, it's really his own free will, and he must, in fact, pay the ksuba. That's what the Davar Acher is coming to teach us. Fine. The Mishnah also says, ksuba isha b'ziboris, amar merzucha breder of Nachman, lomran ela b'yasmi. The lacha is, where she's deciding from the ksuba from ziboris, is only from the orphans. However, avaminei, if he's divorcing her, so then she's allowed to collect from Beinonis. That the halacha is on the assumption that the ksuba is a din d'oraisa, and generally you should give from Meitav. So the Rabbanan lowered it from Meitav to make it regular, but they didn't lower it always to Ziboris, so when he's divorcing her, he should at the very least have to pay with Beinonis. So the Gemara asks Akasha, Miyasme, explaining that you're expecting she's collecting the ksuba from the Yosomim, from the orphans, my area ksubas isha. Why do you have to mention ksubas isha then? Everybody collects from Ziboris. That's the halacha. Afilu kol milei nami. Everybody collects from any obligation that they had, has to pay, even if it's a nezek. Let's say their husband was mechabel someone, and then right afterwards he dies. So the halacha is that they have to pay only from Ziboris as well over there. Ain't it from nifsa Yosomim elam nizoris? We just quoted that yesterday's daf. And the Mishnah told us that you only accept payment. They only accept the payments from Ziboris, from the Yosomim. Ella lav mina, mina. It must be that we're talking about the husband, and the whole chiddush is that even the husband has to pay Ziboris. This is a kasha against Ravina. So the Gemara answers, Ola miasme. Really, the Mishnah is referring to the orphans. You're going to tell me that's a huad in everybody. Why does the Mishnah even mention a ksuba? Ksuba isra yitzrich alay, no, because I would have thought a woman's ksuba is different. I would have thought the idea of chin, Rashi explains that women were given a more righteous collection, the men would be viewing them higher in higher esteem. There would be not cheapening in the eyes of the men. That's a Rashi explanation. The Tosafot explain chin throughout the time is that it's generally going to be women who are more wealthy. So if they ever want to remarry, they'll be wealthier. So that's what we're going to give them. We're going to be giving them meitav. So or at least maybe beinonis. Kamashman. No, even we're collecting from Yosomim. Everybody, even a ksuba gets from Ziboris. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Tashma, we could bring a proof from our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ksuvas Isha Beinonis. Rabbi Meir holds that the Ksuvas Isha is from the medium average land. Biman, but who is the average land collected from? Elam, we just said, Leisle Rabbi Meir Hadislan, in the farm Nechzilim Elamin Ziboris. Elav Mine, we see that Rabbi Meir understands that you collect from Beinonis. Michal, the Rabbanan Sarabi Ziboris, but implied from there is that the Rabbanan, who are the majority opinion, which Ravina Lechor should hold that it's Ziboris. So this again is against Marzutra. This is against Marzutra that says that you collect from Beinonis from the husband. The Gemara says, no, we could reject that as well, because we could say, La'ola miyasme. Really, Rabbi Meir understands that a widow is allowed to collect her ksuba from the orphans average lend. And the Rabbanan upped it because of chayin, according to Bemeir, so that you collect average land from even the Asomim, whereas other people cannot, and therefore there's no raya that the Rabbanan disagree with regards to the husband himself. Maybe the husband himself, everybody would agree that you give her bainanis. And there's no kasha in Mar Zitra. So the Gemara says another kasha, though. Amar Abaye, Tashma, I'll bring you another proof from our Mishnah. Nizakin Shaman Lemeidis, Uvalko, Benizis, Xubas Isha, Biziboris. Always get the inferior land by Xubas Isha. Miman. Who is Xubas Isha from Ziboris? Ilim Miasme. Why do you have to mention Yasomim? Why do you have to mention orphans? Ma'ir Xubas Isha. Everybody collects from orphans, as we mentioned, in the lowest quality field. Afilu Kolani Nami. Ela Lav Mina. It must be referring to the cases referring to the guy himself gives her Ziboris. And again, we have a raya from the Mishnah that she collects from Ziboris against Marzutra. So the Quran says, Amar Avacha Bar Yaakov, Avacha Mayaskinan. What are we dealing with in our Mishnah? Kigon Shanasa Arev Lenizke Bino, Labacho Bino, Luchzuvas Kalasai. We're talking about a case of the Mishnah where he was a guarantor on the damaged property of his son, and also to Ahava of his son, and also to his daughter-in-law's Ksuba, all these things at once. And now the son defaulted on all of them. So, and the son or dies without paying them. So the Mishnah tells us that the has to pay these obligations, to the guarantor has to pay these obligations. So that's what we're talking about over here. Anyway, he didn't have enough to cover it. And therefore we're talking about who he has to pay and how he has to pay. So basically what happens over here is that the people who have the Nezek and the Malveh, they collect from the same quality of land as they would have collected from the son himself because he is the guarantor. And the ksuba, though, is collected only from Ziboris, even though the woman would have collected Bainanis had she been divorced. Why should there be a difference between collecting from the guarantor and the guy himself? If it was the guy himself divorced him, or is it just tainaying, everybody agrees you get Bainanis. But if it was from the guarantor, you collect from Ziboris. V'hai kitina, because this is everyone is going to according to their halachas. Everyone keeps it according to halachas. Why? Nizik and Abalchov, the Mechayim Gavu, they collect their amount from the son during the lifetime of the son. The obligation the son had to pay them in their lifetime. Yunami kamigabe, so the father also, when he pays his son's guarantors, kimichayim migabe. He has to pay as if they're still alive, and he has to keep the status. So therefore, you have to pay from Meitav and Beninis to the Loveh, to the Malveh, and Meitav for the damages. That everybody keeps their dine. Kiksuvas isha d'lachar misa gabe, but when it comes to collecting their ksuva, which is the result of the son died, generally, she's more widow, it was more common for a person, people would almost never get divorced. Nowadays, unfortunately, the numbers have skyrocketed, but it was much more common for a woman to be a widow than to be divorced. So therefore, the father accepted responsibility for the ksuba really be'etzem only after the husband dies. But who does she generally collect from? From miyasmi, generally from orphans. And the orphans, he's viewed as like collecting from the orphans, because that's the that's the most likely case. That's generally what happens. That's the rule of times. So therefore, he gives it as if he's like in place of the Yisomim, who therefore are giving Ziboris. That's why he gives Ziboris. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That's how Rav Zutra is going to explain the Mishnah. But Rav Acha should learn from the Mishnah. That's not correct, because the guarantor of a ksuba is not obligated to pay if the husband defaults. The Gemara on Tamar's daf is going to explain why. So the Mishnah couldn't even be discussing that case anyway. So Gemara says, no, you can, because we're talking about a case of Bekablan. The Mishnah is talking about a case of a Kablan who accepted full responsibility of his son's obligations. And a Kablan is on a higher level than an Arev. A Kablan is really like a Shaliach of the guy. It's as if the Kablan, in many different respects, the Kablan, even if the guy doesn't default, the Kablan takes responsibility to pay it. If you just say, I want the money to collect my money from the Kablan, the guy lends $1,000. He wasn't convinced the guy's going to play. He didn't even want a guarantee. He wants a Kablan. What does the Kablan do? It's like he's the Shaliach of the Loveh. So therefore, if I want to collect my $1,000, I don't even have to go to the Loveh himself. I go straight to the Kablan and say, give me my $1,000 that I paid to the Loveh. And the Kablan has to pay me. He can't say, go first to the Loveh. He has to pay me. That's what he's accepting. He's accepting the right to collect right away from the Kablan. So here also, that Kablan's liability is much higher. And a Kablan is referring to a situation where he would have to pay the ksuba. That since the Kablan's more chomer, he would have to pay, he agreeing upon himself to accept the ksuba, even where, in a situation where the guy doesn't default, he collect from the Kablan. So Kol Shekin, in our case also, you would be able to accept the payment from the Kablan. So that's the idea of Kablan. So the Gemara points out, Ani Chalamanda Amar, so this Rashi explains that if the orphans had inherited property from their son, then the grandfather would not have been obligated to pay the guarantor of the son's loans. That's the case over here. Only if he was a kablan, maybe then he would be paying it. So the Gemara says, "Anich leman da'amar kablan afagav deleis lei nechsel lov mishtabid." So this works out well with the man da'amar that says the kablan becomes obligated to pay even where the borrower does not have any property at the time of the guarantee. So therefore, that makes sense. Shapir, so then our explanation makes sense, because even if the son did not have property at the time, the father still has to honor his guarantee. Elamanda Amar Ilesle Mishtabid, that according to the Manda Amar, this is a kavlan becomes obligated if the borrower has property at the time of the obligation. Ilesle Love and Mishtabid. But if he does not have, but he does not become obligated if the borrower does not have property at that time. So the first opinion understands that you're accepting the obligation no matter what. However, that works well. So then you'd accept the obligation no matter what. However, on the other opinion holds that if the lova has no property, the kavlan does not intend to obligate himself, because he knows that he's never going to pay. He has nothing no lien on the property to get anything back from. So Mike Lemimer, so how can the father has to pay in this situation to the ksuba of his daughter-in-law? He doesn't have to accept that payment. So the Gemara says, Ibais ima b'dahavilei v'ishtof. Maybe we're talking about a case where the mishnah, and if the does have it, then they should collect from Yisomim. So the Gemara says, "Bedavilei ve'ishta." So the Mishnah is talking about a case where the son had property at the time that they were guaranteed by the father, and then it got ruined. So it got ruined from property damage. V'ibais ema, or you could give another explanation that kol legabe brei shibudim mishabi nashay. Anytime someone's accepting upon himself an obligation for his son, so then even if his son does not have property, it's a higher level than general kaplanus, because he is very close to his son. He wants to make sure that this is done properly, and that would be the situation in this case over here. So we'll go a little bit weiter because we have more time. Itmar. Arev d'ksuba divrei kol lo b'shtabed. That this halacha, that everyone agrees that an ordinary guarantee of a ksuba, I guess we got to it right today, I think we're going to do tomorrow, is not obligated to honor his guarantee. There's two reasons that we could assume that he wouldn't necessarily obligate himself. First is that only if the husband has defaulted, so he was really relying on the husband to pay the ksuba. And secondly, he feels less inclined to guarantee a ksuba than he would a different obligation. For if the husband is going to default, the wife is not going to lose anything because she's going into the marriage. So the marriage is considered better for the woman, so he doesn't feel badly not actually paying anything off. However, kavlan de bal chov divrei kol mishtabed. When it comes to if a person becomes a kavlan of a person in halva, then obviously everyone agrees that you'd have to guarantee the money. You accept the responsibility for the loan, even if the guy does not default. As we mentioned, what a kavlan is. And the second thing is that he is inclined to guarantee the loan because the lender would lose money if the borrower is going to default. So arev de bal chov of a kavlan de ksuba. What about an arev of a bal chov, guarantee of a loan of a love? Of a kablan de ksuva, or a kablan of a ksuba, he has to aaron de pligi, that there is going to be a machlokes about. So, meaning, the machlokes is whether or not it's binding or not. So, ikalamanta amar one says that afagav de leisle nifse le lova mishtabid, that even if the borrower does not have any property at the time the loan was guaranteed, ikalamanta amar isle mishtabid, ileisle lo mishtabid. That is the other explanation over here, that it, only if he had money was he really obligating himself to that. So what's the halacha bekulu? In all these cases, afagav de leisle mishtabed. Even if he does not have property, we do accept it. Bar ma'arev de ksuva, except for the guarantor of a ksuva, the afagav de isle mishtabed. Even if he has property, he is not he's actually becoming a guarantor. My time a mitzvah David, he's just performing a mitzvah by happily getting them married, that he was just trying to encourage them to have the shidduch go through. The lomi dichaser, a woman has not lost anything by getting agreeing to get married, as I mentioned, because it's better for it's better for her to get married. You want this marriage to exist, and therefore he's not really intending to be a real formal guarantor. It was just like a nice show to have the shidduch go through, but it wasn't actually a lachak obligation. Okay, we'll pick up with Amar Avina in tomorrow's daf.